Welcome to the Free From Wall Street podcast, where we talk about how to create, preserve, and pass on generational wealth without the roller coaster ride of the stock market. And now, here's your host, Stephen Libman, managing partner of Integrity Holdings Group.
Welcome back to the Free From Wall Street podcast. My name is Stephen Libman, managing partner of Integrity Holdings Group. Today we have Michelle Bosch with us in the studio talking about how to get free from Wall Street, what she did to do it, what you can do to do it as well. Michelle, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Stephen, for having me. It is such a pleasure. It's an honor being here. I'm looking forward to having a good, you know, very well-lived 20, 30 minutes together.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we're going to unpack a lot of information for the listeners today. Let's start with a little bit of your background. Where did you come from? You know, I always like to find out when people had the aha moment that going to school, getting a good job and investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and ETFs is not the way to get wealthy. So give us a little bit of your background and also let us know where that aha moment took place in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm originally from Honduras. Steve and I came here into the U.S. in 1995. My husband came here in 1997, and I'm going to talk in we because it's been, you know, part of our success here in the real estate space has been really the result of a partnership and collaboration of almost now, you know, 22 years. Awesome. You know, it was actually our 19th wedding anniversary yesterday, and
congratulations.
We've been, I think, in business the same length as we have been married. You know, we've been working together. So very different personalities, Colbys, and, you know, different skill sets that we bring to the table that has made it somehow work all these years. But anyway, so I came here to the U.S. I came to study. Jack also came to study. And we graduated. We got our MBAs. And we started working because that's what everyone tells you that you should do after you get such a, you know, high degree and so on and so forth. So we started doing that. And a couple years into it, you know, we were 100% travel consultants. Jack was working for what is now Oracle. I was working for what used to be Motorola. And we hated it. We had no freedom, no fulfillment. And certainly, Stephen, my paycheck, even though it was a good paycheck, did not equate the level of effort, energy, and time that I was putting into that corporate job. Mm. And so we decided that we needed to do something else. But we couldn't just let go of those jobs. You know, our green cards depended on them. That was our ticket to being legally here in the country. And so we knew that we needed to look for a side hustle. My family back home continues to own to this day a piece of commercial real estate that really was incredibly transformational for me. And that, you know, that piece of commercial property was purchased by my father 2 years before he passed away. Mm. And he passed away when I was very young. I was like 9 months old. And so there was my mother, an elementary teacher, you know, single mom now raising her daughter. And it wasn't her salary that was going to keep us afloat for sure. And it wasn't my dad's high caliber job. He was a very accomplished attorney back home. He had studied in the Sorbonne in France. But it wasn't that what kept us going, you know, financially. It was that investment in that commercial property and that rental income, that residual income that kept us afloat. So I knew firsthand, you know, I had been the recipient of someone having, you know, the thought, the long-term view about their finances. And how passive can it be that you're not physically there and you continue to take care of your family? So wow. I knew that firsthand, and I told Jack, you know, we got to do something in real estate. I know that that's good, but our level of comfort back then was not very high, you know, in terms of like we were in a foreign country. We had no idea on anything regarding commercials. So our very logical step was like, okay, let's look at single family homes. How difficult can it be to, you know, find a junker, repair it and, and yeah. Sell it, you know what I mean? But with our jobs full time, very quickly we realized that, wow, there's a lot of moving pieces to this rehabbing. We have put a junker here under contract here in the city of Phoenix in the Garfield district, which is a historic district. And there was everything wrong with that junker from foundation issues, you know, kitchen repairs, roofing, I mean, everything. And we we were chicken littles. We stepped out. We figured, oh my God, this is too much for us. And, but we kept looking, you know, we knew that we needed to do something. We kept looking and we came across something very special here in the US. And that is that people can lose their properties to delinquent taxes, you know, tax liens, tax deeds. And I remember taking off from my job, you know, a couple of days off, Monday and Tuesday, to go to Sonoma County to a tax deed auction, which was, to my surprise, incredibly competitive. But what I found, Stephen, was that a lot of the property that was coming up for auction was actually vacant land, vacant pieces of land.
Yeah.
And I figured if people have, you know, have been delinquent 5 years and their properties are going for auction, this decision to let go mentally and emotionally of their property probably happened way sooner. So we started perfecting a model to where, you know, we would reach out and continue to reach out to, you know, owners of vacant land. And we were able to buy their properties for 5 to 25 cents on the dollar, very little competition, because land is kind of like this gap in the real estate market that is not sexy like multifamily, that is right. Not sexy like rehabbing a home. And therefore, you know, we have more seller leads than we can handle.
Now, were you using that? Were you taking those land pieces down and building new construction on them? Or what was the plan with a vacant piece of land?
To flip it immediately, to basically buy it for 525 cents, sell it for 60% of market value if I'm selling it for cash, or maybe 80, 100% of market value if I'm using seller financing and creating a note. Because that's the two ways that we sell our land. We sell it, you know, cash, a quick wholesale, or we, you know, do the seller financing. And, you know, we've been able to grow our, you know, portfolio of passive cash flow just from land notes to $70,000 worth of passive cash flow per month. And so, you know, about $12-13 million in notes just from land. And so it was a fantastic thing to have been an immigrant and to be at a disadvantage and that we didn't know how anything worked here. But at the same time, that helped us to really think outside the box, you know, when it came to land. And then we did focus, you know, on and continue to focus on only three types of properties that are infill lots that we can quickly wholesale basically to a builder. Path of Growth is also a builder or a financial investor. Sure. Or recreational property about 2 hours away from a major city that I can sell, you know, to someone that wants to go fishing or skiing or whatever, you know. And those are kind of like the three types of properties. But anyway, so we figured out, it took us about 3 years to perfect the model. And we went from 60 deals 1 year to 120 deals the next year. And then eventually we had our green card and it was a liability to continue, you know, our corporate jobs. And then we blew that to, you know, 600 properties in 1 year. And that was through land auctions.
Wow.
And then we became students of online marketing, started marketing our properties online. 2008 came around and, you know, we looked up and everyone is losing their shirt. And for some reason, this is an asset class that is very resistant. We kept, you know, we kept flipping deals left and right. And in this market right now, 2020, we continue to not be able to hold inventory long enough. It's selling like hotcakes. And so going into the future now, you know, we moved in 2009 to single family homes. You know, we recognized that we had quite a bit of, you know, we were in the very privileged situation of having quite a bit of liquidity from our cash flips and our passive cash flow. And we started moving some of that into single family homes for buy and hold. And we built, you know, a portfolio here in Phoenix. Then we started moving into two other markets, really understood the single family model and how to become remote, you know, asset managers of our wealth, of our legacy. And in 2015, we thought, okay, you know, we got the land down. We have a head to that horse. That business is going, you know. We have the single family. We have a head to that horse. That business is going. How can we start looking at 100 doors at a time versus just one door at a time?
Yeah.
And that's when we got into multifamily. You know, we bought our first 90-something units in Slidell, Louisiana. Then 94 units in North Carolina, and then 147 units in Oklahoma. And we're looking to buy this year because I love the tax depreciation benefits that come with it, you know?
Yeah. And the CARES Act has, there's three separate things. And if you listen to the podcast, there's been a couple of conversations that we've had. Our CPA is actually coming on to talk about the three huge opportunities with the CARES Act right now. One, 401k penalty-free withdrawals. Two, penalty-free leveraging of that 401k account, net operating loss carrybacks, and then QIP, qualified improvement costs for CapEx, which is now 100% deductible. So we're looking at huge tax deductions this year, especially because of the tax. I mean, look, it was a great tax advantaged asset class before this, but if you can get into multifamily in 2020, you will reap significantly better benefits. So, wow. So a lot to unpack there, right? I mean, first of all, bravo, Dad, for leaving an amazing legacy without even recognizing, right? You're 9 months old. He had no idea that this would have such an impact on your life. And it's so heartwarming.
Yeah, because Stephen, at the end of the day, that's what allows me to this day to be talking to you. Because of that, my mom was able to afford private school, bilingual, so that I could learn English. Because of that, you know, same piece of property, I'm able to come to the U.S. and study and pay for, you know, out-of-state tuition, because that's how an international student pays when they come to school here, and right. So on. So it's continues to be in my family. My mother continues to, you know, enjoy the fruits of that. If we don't sell it, now my daughter will be the recipient of that. You know, it's real generational legacy that we're talking about, you know? It's like, I'm able to stand on his shoulders. My Sophia, who's 12 years old, is going to stand on my shoulders, and so on and so forth, and this will continue. So it's, it's a real, real transformation, you know, what a simple decision can make for your family, you know what I mean?
Yeah, talk about the butterfly effect, right, long term. And the second thing that I took from that I want our listeners to listen to as well is, and I can apply this to a little bit of our story, is, you know, you didn't know what you didn't know. So you got to think outside of the box a little bit. I think a lot of people are afraid to get into something that they're interested in because they don't know everything about it, right? Yeah. Our first self-storage project, I didn't have a passive income property for 10 years after flipping and wholesaling. Didn't have a single passive income property. Our first asset was an 1,193 unit ground up self-storage development that was over 130,000 square feet. We had no idea what we were doing.
Yeah.
Right. But like you, right, we didn't know what we didn't know. So we figured it out. Right. I mean, we had an amazing mentor that showed us the ropes, who had a lot of experience in that, which kind of takes a little bit of the fear out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Cause you can really, you know, rely and kind of like borrow that person's, what I call the four C's. You can really borrow on their courage. You can really borrow on their capability. On their confidence and on that commitment to bigger and bigger deals, because that's, I think, you know, if you follow that four C's, you commit to something and you're like, holy shit, I got to muster the courage to go and figure this thing out. But you do it, you gain the capability, you have the confidence, and now you go for bigger deals. And that, you know, that loop just keeps on going, and you keep on iterating in zeros with more zeros in the end.
And you start thinking about, I mean, the 4 minute mile is always kind of where people are talking about this. Nobody broke the 4 minute mile. They thought it was humanly impossible. And then one person did it. And in very quick succession after that, 2, 3, 4, 5 people did it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's by partnering with people that have been there and done it before, it just gives you that confidence too, that, hey, I can do this, right?
Yeah.
Especially when you sit down with these and realize they're just regular people buying $100 million worth of assets, you know? So yeah. So that's amazing. So the legacy of your dad, amazing. And then also not knowing what you don't know, but not being afraid to try to figure it out. It lets you think outside of the box a little bit and find yourself in a place where there was little competition to where you could really dominate that market.
Yeah.
So really, really good stuff.
And really right now, when you mention, you know, it's like, it's about aligning yourself with people that share your core values, that share, you know, that don't only have the expertise, because a really good deal can go south very quickly with the wrong people, you know? And so it's so important, you know, now, as you know, as we continue to, you know, syndicate deals, or we become also passive investors in others, you know, that you keep that in mind, that you really know, you know, this person, you know, that you're investing with really, really, really well, that they, that you know that they have, that their optimism is not out of, or that, you know, their outlook is not out of optimism, but of actual experience in a downturn, in, you know, when things go south, you know, how have they dealt with issues in the past and so on and so forth. So yeah, I totally get it there.
Yeah, I mean, you have to find people that you know, like, and trust. I mean, because you're partnering with them, right? And it's fun when it's going right, you know? So make sure that you're finding people that you're having fun with.
Yeah.
And okay, so now you have this great active income that you're creating from this, but now you've decided that this is just an active job, right? I get a little bit of heat because I was a flipper for 10 years and I'm still taking a little bit of heat from my flipping friends that are like, why are you bashing flipping? And I'm not bashing it, right?
No,
it will not retire.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not a real, it's not what we call forever cash. So Stephen, we have in the Bosch family, we talk about three types of cash. We talk about one-time cash, and that's a flip. We talk about temporary cash, which is a flip of land as well, but with a note, you know what I mean? Where I'm going to get, I buy a piece of property for $1,000. I sell it for $20,000. Somebody gives me a down payment for $2,000, and then I have $18,000 that are going to be paying, you know, maybe at $200 for the next 5 to 10 years. Mm-hmm. But that's temporary, because the moment that they pay off that note, you know, poof, that cash flow is gone. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so for us, we've been, our journey has been moving from one-time cash to temporary cash to what we like to call forever cash, you know? And that is, you know, I think the holy grail, which is the equivalent of passive cash flow. And it comes with an actual improved property that, you know, you can hold for as long as you want. You know, if you want to just play the game of buy and sell every 5 years, you can play that game. For us, it's not so much about how many doors, you know, I have, you know, an interest in, but more than anything, we're, you know, slowly transitioning into, okay, I don't want to have to even have to do syndications in the future, you know, because I am looking at it as a legacy for Sophia, you know, for my daughter. And what, you know, maybe the next 200, 250 units that we buy are going to be, we're not going to, you know, have any outside investors. I mean, that is the goal for us, you know,
sure,
and so on and so forth. But you got to start where you're at. Number one, think big, scale quickly, and go find the people that have gone through these four C's, you know, so that you can really borrow from them and are able to really collapse time, you know. And that's relative, because I'm saying collapse time, but it's taken me 18 years to get here, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. 10 years to be an overnight success for us as well.
Yeah.
It's, you know, what I love about the idea of financial freedom is that forever cash that you're talking about, it's buying back your time, right? Right now, in the beginning, you trade time for money, you have a very active job, and then eventually you get to a place where you get to trade money back for time.
Absolutely.
And that financial freedom comes from those passive investments, so that you get to spend more time with Sophia, I get to spend more time with my kids. We have a great video on our YouTube channel called Millionaire Kids. You should check it out with Sophia. It's compound interest calculator with my daughter. She invested into one of our self-storage facilities, and we figured out exactly when she would be a millionaire with her first investment. So it's pretty cool to watch.
How old is she?
She's 6.
Oh my gosh. That is fantastic. Sophia can totally do this, you know?
Yeah.
She helps us a little bit on the land flipping side. But yeah, this would be fun for her,
yeah,
for sure, in the multifamily. Because, you know, when we started here with single family, she would, you know, we started, you know, at the point where we were even, you know, our very first home, we would go and collect to rent ourselves, you know, to the point that, you know, where eventually it turned into 50 homes. I'm like, okay, I need a property management company, you know, in this
right.
month, and then in
yeah.
the next one, in the next one, and so on. But, you know, that's so important what you just mentioned in terms of, you know, buying back your freedom, because at the end of the day, we all start investing, or we all start an entrepreneurial journey, because we're looking for four freedoms. We're looking for freedom of money, freedom of time, freedom of relationships, and freedom of purpose. You know, I am on a mission, you know, to get many more women to start thinking about not just how can they make money, but how can they have money work for them, you know? And so having them see that switch that, you know, perhaps, yes, you may have some freedom of time, some freedom of money right now, but are you doing it with the people that you want, you know, and are you really working on a higher purpose, on a higher calling of sorts? Because I, at least for me, I find that women are much more about money for what it can do for others. You know what I mean? And so for us, you know, we're living now these four freedoms because of real estate, because of passive cash flow. Yeah. And that is just something so important, you know, when you cannot even think about the freedom of purpose, if you're stuck trying to just get freedom of money and time, you know, if you're in the lower, you know, kind of end of that spectrum of freedom, you know?
Yeah. And especially if you're a mom, right? Or, I mean, even a dad too, like, you know, we like to spend more time with our family. So that freedom gets you to do a lot of other things with your family. And maybe you can cut back a couple more hours, right? And maybe you can, you know, we always said, if my daughter wants to go be a missionary, I never want her to go and be on the mission field worrying about having to come home and raise money like a lot of these people do, right? People that are doing great missions are constantly fundraising so that they can, you know, so in terms of purpose, you know, that's our tagline is invest with purpose. Yeah. And by virtue of investing with us, you know, we carve out an equity position in every single deal that we do for a nonprofit to fund them for the next 5 years. Yeah. And, you know, that gives them passive income that they can count on as well as us. Yeah. Right. So we're purposeful about kind of partnering with those types of organizations as well. And, you know, it's been really cool to see that in our community, there's a lot of that going on, right? There's a lot of giving back. And so what is your focus in terms of giving back? I mean, you're talking about getting more women involved and being more purposeful about it. I started
a podcast just for that. You know, I've been doing the Forever Cash podcast with Jack for like 4 years. And I'm like, you know what? I'm sick and tired of seeing a lot of women that are realtors or that, you know, are interested perhaps in flipping land or in buying their first, you know, home for buy and hold investment. But when I get to multifamily, you know, in 2015, all of a sudden I look around and there's not many ladies looking at acquisitions of $5, $10, $15, $20 million. And I'm like, it's got to change, but I got to start at the beginning. You know, if women are out there, you know, professionals, working corporate jobs, I need to start educating them, not necessarily, you know, domesticizing the information, but we need to start, you know, at the beginning and perhaps looking at if they do hate their corporate job, how can I help them, you know, replace that income maybe through land flips, you know, for example. And from there, be able to help them create enough cash flow, like a six-figure boom very quickly to replace that job and start investing, you know, into much more long-term forever cash type of assets. So that's one thing. I mean, we're very passionate about, you know, sharing our, you know, land profit generator method with others. We're on a mission of creating 1,000 millionaires just from that and really being transformational, you know, to people. The success stories that we've had, I mean, and continue to have are amazing, and it really makes us peerless, you know, in our industry. And so we're right now on a mission to become the Harvard of land flipping.
Nice.
The Harvard. I like that. And that's part of us, you know, giving back, because you think about just from the point of view of like, yeah, I'm teaching someone how to do a $10, $15, $20,000 split, you know, spread with a piece of land. But there's so much more than that. It's not just walking you through a deal. It's really sculpting your spirit in terms of confidence, in terms of courage, of capability, and so on and so forth, so that you can go for bigger, you know, start thinking bigger, you know, and of bigger opportunities, bigger possibilities that are there for you. But if I don't unlock that first floodgate, you know, people cannot even think of what's on the other end.
It's a big mindset shift, right? I mean, to get people to... And that's why we run the Free From Wall Street podcast. I mean, the whole reason that we're here is to help people expand into these different areas that, you know, go to school, get a good job and invest in the stock market is not the way that everybody has to do it. I'm not saying that everybody can't do it, but we talked before the show about how, you know, when my dad passed, he lost a bunch of money in the stock market, didn't get to write it back up. People are going through that right now. I mean, retirees in COVID-19, they were ready to retire. Now they're working for a couple more years because the stock market is a roller coaster and hope is not a strategy. You can't plan your retirement that way. I would argue that you and I have a very much more accurate date as to when we will be able to stop going to work than anybody that has money in the stock market. So, you know, start to educate yourself, figure out that you can do this, find other people to take you along for the journey. We both have amazing mentors that have taken us around on the ride for the journey. Shout out to Corey Peterson. I know he always listens to the podcast.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And he's been on here and we had a great conversation. If you're listening to the podcast,
go. Very first multifamily deal was with him. You know, he has
me too.
Instrumental in him being, you know, a mentor to us. So all our love to him and Shelly, his wife.
Yeah. So go check out his episode called What Your Financial Advisor Doesn't Want You to Know. Because Corey used to be a financial advisor on Wall Street and now he's doing what we do. So clearly there's a reason and a path. So listen, really good conversation. I'm sure we could go on forever about this. Leave us with some parting thoughts. What would you encourage people to do? And then let us know where we can find you if they wanted to reach out.
Yeah. The one thing that I wanted to say is that there's, you know, if you're looking to get out of the stock market and start looking at something in the real estate area, there's so many ways to skin the cat in real estate. Go find one that you can wrap your, you know, your head around, and that you can partner with people that are solid, and then focus on that. You know, we suffer from, I think, as a society, from shiny object syndrome, and that is not the way to scale. That's not the way to mastery. That's not the way to what I call having a PhD and making money. It comes from focusing on one thing, getting in line, staying in line, mastering that. And then if you want to start moving to a different asset class after that, you know, that's fine. But otherwise, you're going to be with busy movement, learning about different strategies and techniques, and nothing really, you won't have any results to show for. So go start, you know, educate yourself, do a little bit of exploration. And then at some point, you know, give yourself a timeline. Okay, I've done enough discovery in the real estate world. Let me park here and let me go deep in this one singular activity, go master it, and get, you know, get going, because that's how you're going to see results. Otherwise, it's just going to be pure busy movement. And so that would be one thing that I would, you know, want to leave you guys with is, yeah, focus, hocus pocus, focus.
Yeah, and take action, right? I mean, you have to take action.
Take action, yeah, absolutely. Because waiting is a freaking trap. You know, courage, I always say that courage loves speed, you know, and fear wants you to overanalyze and think about things, and your mind gets filled with doubt and confusions and you don't do anything. So, you know, when you know that you have found someone and you know that you understand what they're doing, and your heart checks with it, your mind checks with it, you know, and that person is, you know, purpose-driven, like you said, you know what I mean? That has a clear vision, go ahead and get going. You know, waiting is a trap, a big trap. So
it's like my favorite quote, right? It's the best time to plant a tree was 25 years ago. The next best time is today.
Is today. Exactly. So, and then if someone wanted to learn a little bit about, you know, land and what we do, they can always go to Land Profit Fund, because we do have a lot of fun making money with land. And then, or check out my website, michellebosch.com. I have there my podcast, you know, a little bit of information on the land, what we do on the multifamily side, and so on and so forth. So that would be the best way. So
cool. And I will drop those links in the show notes here. So if you want to reach out to Michelle and find out more about her and her mission and how you can join her on that journey, feel free. Michelle, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Really appreciate having you on.
Thank you so much, Stephen. It was an honor.
I'll talk to you soon. Hopefully we will be in touch. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
You've been listening to the Free From Wall Street podcast. My name is Steve Libin. If you have not done so yet, go to freefromwallstreet.com and get the 5 things your financial advisor does not want you to know on me. Thanks.
Thank you for listening. Like what you hear? Be sure to subscribe and head over to freefromwallstreet.com and sign up for our free guides to help you and your family invest with purpose.